host. And if you're unfamiliar with The Couch, we're going to be talking about NFL sports all year long, detailing a little bit of the NBA. And yeah, whenever the NBA comes around, we'll start talking about it a little bit, but mostly football. And, you know, today, just for a quick itinerary, we're going to go over some, you know, fantasy pickups and busts, some guys that maybe you want to trade for, maybe some guys that look bad but you want to keep. And then some game reactions, honestly. I want to talk about the Eagles and the Chiefs, obviously, with a Super Bowl matchup this week. The Bears starting 0-2. The Falcons' defense looks really impressive. I want to talk about them. And then the Packers. Packers look amazing, and they look Super Bowl bound. But first, I want to talk about the Eagles, because I'm an Eagles fan myself, and it hits close to home to see this offense struggle in the way that it does. And honestly, the struggle is not with how successful they're being. They've won two games. They, you know, they are beating teams and doing what they need to win. But the passing offense is not there at all. Jalen Hurts is taking what the defense gives him, and I am okay with that. I think it's partly the play calling, and I think partly is the inability to move it downfield. I think that, especially in last week against the Chiefs, there were a lot of times where if Jalen Hurts had a half second longer to throw, he would be able to have a huge play. And I also think that the route concepts, like I mentioned, Devontae Smith, there's no work over the middle of the field at all. He's one of the best route runners in the league, and we have him going running fade routes and out routes. Great. Let's mix in some other stuff. And then A.J. Brown, it's like we only use him for slants. He is a great weapon on those short yardage situations, but I think that we need to get him more involved in other cases. And then the run game. The run game looks fine. Saquon had a rough first game. He led 86 yards in that last game. And I think that he's going to, you know, continue to produce. But they run the ball on first down 63% of the time. And that is 11% higher than the next team. 11. And then besides that, it's like 20% to like the third team. And I just think that they rely so much on the run game. It's what won us the Super Bowl last year. But I think they understand that they are so good at the tush push. It's not first and 10. It's first and 8. Because they know if they get to third and 2 or fourth and 1, they get it. They know that they get it. There's no hesitation. So why try and move the ball down the field? You don't have to get it that far. You have to get it 8 yards. Just run the ball. Just run the ball twice. You'll probably get, you know, maybe you'll get a quick, you know, 7 or 6 on the first two plays, and then your third and three, hand the ball off. You'll probably get another 2. And I think that that is amazing. I think that they should continue to rely on the run game, but I think the tush push is boxing them in. Let's just take a 4-minute offense scenario, right? Eagles are up 3. There's 4 minutes left on the board. Instead of trying to go down and push it and try and score and run clock off, what they do is they just run the clock. And that almost cost them the Chiefs game. I mean, there was multiple times in that Chiefs game at the end where there were moments for Mahomes and the Chiefs to come back. And now I have two thoughts on this. Because one, it's working. And the part of me is like, well, they trust their defense as one of the best defenses of the league. And look what happened. They got the ball back and were able to do it that time. They were able to get to third and short and then, you know, get the first down and win the game. But there's another part of me that's like, I want to see a more high-powered offense. I don't want to have to rely on the defense every week because I don't think this defense is as good as last year. We lost a lot of guys. Darius Slay, Isaiah Rogers, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams. I mean, there are a lot of guys gone that weren't here last year. Brandon Graham. And so I'm split on this because they are so effective running the ball, or not even running the ball, but the rushing offense. They are so effective at executing it. But I want to see more from the pass game. And I think that maybe this week going against the Chargers, they'll be able to do that. But I am not the Chargers, the Rams, excuse me. I want Kevin Petullo to get the passing game even more involved because that was the dangerous part about the offense last year, right? because if they committed to stopping the run, there was going to be issues for that secondary. I mean, you saw it in the Super Bowl. You saw it in the Pittsburgh game. Like, Jalen Hurts has these big games when the team say, hey, we're just gonna crash on Saquon and let Jalen Hurts decide the game. That's essentially what they do. And that's when he has his big games. And that is when, you know, you see the passing offense get that involved. But I just want to see that more. You saw the Cowboys were taking away Saquon. How many yards did he have in that game? Like, you need to be able to be versatile. Get 60 yards in that Dallas game. And I want to see more from this Eagles offense as a whole, because I'm starting to work. And, you know, they're still being efficient in the passing game. I mean, they're about, you know, they're just under league average for EPA, dropback EPA per play. And then their rushing EPA is like one of the highest in the league. And so I think that they're still up here. They're still at the top of the graph, but I want to see them move over to the right. I want to see this passing offense get involved and get going. And that's honestly why, if we're doing power rankings today, I think I'm putting the Eagles at 3. I think that I put them at 3, and the Bills and Ravens are ahead of them. I know that the Bills' defense didn't look great against the Ravens, but that's playing the Ravens, and the Ravens look unstoppable. I mean, they look so good. I know they lost that first game, but, you know, that is a potential AFC Championship matchup. That game could have gone either way, and I don't care what you want to say. Lamar is, in my eyes, becoming the number one quarterback in the league. He's not there yet. I still think Mahomes is the best, and then it's Lamar, then Allen. But, I mean, come on. Come on. And now, we're talking about the Eagles. Let's talk about who they played. What is the level of concern for the Chiefs? And honestly, I'm not concerned. And this isn't a big topic for me. I know they're starting 0-2. I know there's only a 12% chance that 0-2 teams make the playoffs or whatever it is. They haven't done this since 2014, I think it was. They definitely haven't done it since Mahomes has been the QB. But why are we so worried about this team? They just went to the Super Bowl. They're out Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. They're out their best weapons on offense besides Mahomes and Kelsey. Kelsey's even struggling. So, why are we so worried about this team when they don't have their two best receivers, their tight end is struggling, and they're playing good teams? They play the Chargers and the Eagles. That's a perfectly fair 0-2 to start against. So I'm not super worried. I still think they have a shot at the playoffs. Obviously, if some of these other AFC teams catch fire, I would be inclined to say they might be on the fringe. But come on, this is Mahomes and the Chiefs. They win these close games. And just because they fell short a few times, look at the track record. Andy Reid is the best head coach in the league right now. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league right now. You don't miss the playoffs when you have those things. I want to look at their schedule. And I want to just see, looking ahead, like, I mean, when are they going to get their first win? They play the Ravens next. That's a tough game. And if they lose, that's not a surprise. But then they have some games I think they could 100% win. I think they can beat the Ravens, but they play the Jaguars. I think that's an easy win. They play the Raiders. I think they win that one. They play the Commanders. I think they could definitely win that one. The Commanders haven't looked like the Commanders of last year so far. They play the Lions, who had a great game against the Bears. But, I mean, you know, it's the Bears, and they haven't looked good at all. They actually have, I think I was just looking at a graph, they had like one of the worst passing defenses for EPA per defensive play. It's crazy. But they do play like a lot of hard teams. Like, they play the Bills and Ravens and the Chargers again. And You know, they play the Broncos. They play the Colts, who at this point are a, you know, are a threat. But I want to look at the standings because you've got Buffalo at 2-0. You got Cincinnati at 2-0. But I think they will probably swap with Baltimore at some point. Indianapolis and the Chargers. I think that Kansas City could come out as second in the division still. They're only a game behind the Broncos and Raiders. I think this is – people are blowing it out of proportion. I don't think that they go 6-11. And I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be. But let's start off – go to the Bears. Lose in back-to-back weeks in really embarrassing ways. Choke to a rookie quarterback in week one. And then a blowout in week two. And so I kind of want to focus on who is to blame. What is the issue? What is going on? And I honestly think it is the ideology of, hey, let's have DeAndre Swift go out there and run the ball. Because I don't think he's a very good running back in the National Football League. I don't think that he can be the focus of this offense. I don't think the rushing attack should be the focus of the offense. And honestly, watching the game, I want to see Caleb Williams use his legs more. He is elusive. He has these crazy plays where he's evading eight defenders in the backfield. He is elusive. Get him on the read option. That's a way to make DeAndre Swift, you know, more of a weapon, is to have somebody have to watch Caleb Williams on the read option. And I want to see more of that. I want to see him get his legs involved. I want to see this offense be unique. And right now, Caleb Williams is missing throws. And it just seems not, it doesn't seem like the Ben Johnson offense from last year. And I want to see that. But I don't even think any of those people are to blame necessarily. I honestly think that the expectations are to blame. First year head coach. Second-year quarterback who didn't look super good last year. You know, a lot of new pieces on the O-line that are better than last year for sure, but a lot of new pieces on the O-line. You know, no real fantastic pass rusher. I think the expectations for this team, when they got Ben Johnson, when they got Caleb Williams, I think they kind of overshot all the other issues with the team. Because the whole issues with the team weren't Matt Eberflus, right? I mean, that was a big one. That was probably the biggest one, but there were other issues. And I think that they'll get fixed, and I think the Bears will get better as the season goes on, honestly. And I don't know if they make the playoffs, but I think that this is a fine year one of Ben Johnson. I mean, you saw a lot of, they also get penalized a lot. I mean... I think you saw it in practice. They talked about in practice how the offensive line was getting chewed out because they were having a lot of penalties. And, you know, I think that this is just a rough introduction to the Ben Johnson offense. And I think that once it gets going, it'll be one of the better offenses. I mean, they're tied for third most penalties per game with 10 penalties every game. I mean, that's essentially 100 yards a game they are losing because of penalties. And I think that there's definitely some ground to make up, but I think, honestly, the people to blame for their 0-2 start is the expectations. Why did we think they could beat the freaking Vikings with an all-star defense? And yes, they don't have Christian Darrisaw, but who on that Bears D-line is going to be able to exploit that? You know, Jalen Johnson's now out for a long time. Who is that next guy? Tyree Stevenson doesn't seem to be the next guy. He's not playing well. So I think the expectations are really the surprising part about the 0-2 performance. I mean, they have the week one game, that's a toss-up, and then they play the Lions. That's not a toss-up. That's a loss. And so... I think that they continue to get better throughout the season. But let's move on to a team that did impress me, and that's the Falcons. 6 sacks against the Vikings. Wow. What a performance, right? I mean, I don't know the last time that Falcons fans saw that much pressure get put on a quarterback. Like, honestly. Fourth highest sack rate in the league. You know, they're allowing 5.3 yards per pass attempt. That is the fourth lowest. This defense has completely turned around in the last year. And I am super, super happy to see a good Falcons team. Because if you look at last year, they allowed 6.6 yards per pass attempt, which was the 14th highest. And now they're at the fourth lowest. So, you know, the secondary is improving, mostly probably because of how well the line is playing. And I think Jalen Walker just had a huge game. James Pierce Jr. played well. I'm really impressed with this Falcons team, and the offense looks good. Bijan looks amazing. He was shredding that Vikings defense. And, I mean, I think they had like 200-some yards on the ground just in that game. So, this Falcons rushing offense and this defense is playing amazing. I would not be surprised if they're a playoff team. I know, you know, at the beginning of the season, especially on the social medias, I kind of saw them at the same level as the Panthers because I thought both of these teams would be good. I thought that the Panthers would be a little bit better. I know that their defense wasn't there, but I thought that Bryce Young would really take that step and that there are weapons there. I mean, the tight ends haven't been playing great, and then they traded Adam Thielen. And so, I don't know. I think that now, in my mind, the Falcons and Panthers have switched. I think, well, not even switched. I think that the Panthers are much worse, and the Falcons are coming up to be maybe a 10-win team and maybe sneak into the playoffs. And honestly, I don't want to play them if I'm in the first round of the playoffs. You know, I don't want to play a team with a top five running back and then, you know, one of the, you know, top 10 wide receiver in Drake London and one of the best defenses of the league so far. I wouldn't want to play that. So I think that maybe they can sneak into the playoffs. I'm really impressed with how this Falcons team is playing. But, and don't be surprised if they're in the playoffs and maybe shake some things up. All right, and then Packers. And then I want to talk about the Packers, and then we'll get into some fantasy football stuff. Packers look Super Bowl ready, man. Micah Parsons is a different animal. I don't know what in the hell Jerry Jones is thinking. You know, I don't know any teams in the NFC that can stop them besides the Eagles. I still think that the Eagles are better than them at the moment because of how efficient they are on the ground. But it's really, how is it? It is very surprising to see the change that one player brings to an organization, right? I mean, this Packers team isn't much different than last year, besides losing Jair and Kenny Clark. And then they gain Micah Parsons, and they are immediately one of the best teams in the NFC. And so, it is shocking to see this, and I think that the Eagles are the only team that could stop them. And then maybe the Rams and Commanders, those are the teams that, like, in my head right now, you know, maybe would be able to stop them. Maybe the Bucks have a great game. But honestly, like, none of those teams have great defenses that could potentially cause a lot of fits for Jordan Love. And so, I mean, you saw it last year in the two games the Eagles played against the Packers. Jordan Love didn't play his best games. And I think that that's why the Eagles could be the only team to take him down, but they're hot right now. And I'm extremely excited to see where this Packers team goes. I think they play the Browns, I believe, this upcoming week. So they should be 3-0. And I don't know. I want to see the consistency from Jordan Love, and I want to see one of these wide receivers start taking over. I want to see it. I want to see one of these guys start becoming the alpha, because to me, that inspires consistency, and that is what I really want against with the, you know, best teams in the league. I mean, to me, I kind of relate this Packers wide receiver room to the Heat, the Miami Heat, just a few years ago in the playoffs. You know, they had Jimmy Butler and Bam, these two all-star guys, really, really good. But whoever was going to lead them in scoring was pretty much up to the night. Gabe Vincent had these crazy games. Max Strus went off. You know, I think that but they made it to the finals and didn't win any of them. They made it in 2020. They made it in – they played the Nuggets. I don't remember what year it was. But it was more recent than that. And they made it to the finals, but they didn't win because they didn't have that alpha guy who was going to score them that many points. They didn't have a Jason Tatum. They didn't have a Shea. They didn't have somebody. They had Jimmy, who was a great defender, and he could go off in games, but it wasn't every game. And so that's how I kind of relate this Packers team, and that's why I want to see an alpha. Because if you don't have that guy, I hate that I just use the word alpha like that, but I mean, how else am I supposed to describe it? I want to see wide receiver one. I want to see wide receiver one come out here and be the guy. But yeah. What a week two, by the way, right? What a week two. Following an amazing, probably the best week one I remember, on a fantastic week two. Lots of close games. It felt like every game came down to the wire. That Panthers game, you know, they were rolling at the end. The Colts win off a crazy flag leverage penalty. And then Giants game. Cowboys. Come on. What a good game. Sorry. The camera died. It's always fun. But let's go ahead and get into the fantasy pickups. These are some guys I think you should go and pick up, trade for, stuff like that. First up being Derrick Henry. I think he's unlikely that a lot of teams will trade him after one bad week. But maybe you got an antsy guy. He's 0-2. He or she's 0-2. You know, make a trade. I mean, Derrick Henry. You know, maybe you could get maybe Javonte Williams, someone who's performing really well. We don't know if it's going to continue. And package somebody else for Derrick Henry. You might be able to do it. And then Courtland Sutton, kind of same situation. I feel like a lot of owners won't probably move off of him, but it's at least a chance you might as well do that. Bill, same situation. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, go get him if you can. I think he's the certified RB1 now. And then this also kind of applies to the backup running back, Jeremy McNichols. Go get him on waivers if you can. I think he's going to have a pretty good role in this offense. Austin Eckler was always kind of the passing down back. He was getting a lot of the receiving work when Brian Robinson and him were splitting carries. I think that Jeremy McNichols and Bill will probably have a similar dynamic. And so I would expect that. And so, you know, go get Jeremy McNichols before he has that explosion game. Troy Franklin. If he's on waivers, go get him. I think he's going to continue to be this good of a player. I think that, you know, if you're trying to look for a wide receiver, you can't get Sutton because somebody's low on him. Go get Franklin. I think that he's going to continue to have some sort of success in this Broncos offense. He's definitely going to be the wide receiver too. And maybe not 24 points a game, but he'll be pretty solid as a flex player. Same thing with De'Ami Brown. You know, Brian Thomas is struggling right now, and Brown is kind of one picking up the slack. I had 17 this week, 9 last week. I think he's a pretty good pickup in deeper leagues. I have him on my team. He's a good bench spot. I think he could be a good rotation player in case somebody gets hurt. I think he's a good stash. And then Daniel Jones. A lot of QB injuries already in week two. Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Brock Purdy, J.J. McCarthy. Go get Jones. I really don't need, or I don't know why Daniel Jones is playing this good, but he is. You know, might as well go get it. I wouldn't give up a lot if you're trading for him. I would take it at the lowest price that you are willing to go, which probably isn't a lot. But if he's on waivers, 100% go get him. Get him as a backup. You know, maybe you can trade him. But that's pretty much going to be it for today. I think, you know, I'm excited for a great week three. We'll have some predictions up later this afternoon on the socials. So follow the Couch Podcast on TikTok, Instagram. It's just Julian Shelna on Twitter, and then I'm trying to think, and then YouTube, obviously. Make sure you subscribe if you aren't. You know, let me know who your fantasy pickup is of the week. Let me know your trades, your takes, everything. I want to hear everything. So let me know. We'll be back next week with another episode, and don't forget, subscribe. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys next week.
This podcast is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experimental and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view.